Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Welcome back to another episode of the eLaborate Topics podcast. I'm your host, Stephanie Whitehead, and I'll be your executive leader for today. I'm excited for another episode and another opportunity to talk to you all about all things laboratory. For those of you tuning in for the first time, the eLaborate Topics podcast is a weekly podcast where myself and my co-host, either Taiwana Wilson or Lona Small, are bringing you topics related to the laboratory and leadership to help you excel inside and outside the laboratory. And I'm extremely excited for today's show, and I'd love to just get right into it because I've got a very special guest for you guys, Ms. Blessing. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Stephanie, and thank you for having me. It is an honor to be here, and I am so excited and grateful, and I actually admire the very important work that you ladies do yourself, Ms. Wilson and Ms. Small, especially for lab professionals like myself, so thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Oh, well, thank you for those kind words. Why don't you go ahead and tell the audience a little bit about yourself and your laboratory journey?
Like you said, my name is Blessing Ogumba. I am a research student right now. I have an interest in transfusion medicine, public health, health system services, and cancer research. I am from Nigeria in West Africa, where I obtained a bachelor's in medical lab science. I also have a master's degree in public health. And, you know, currently I'm just branching out into other areas of interest that I have in science and medicine.
That's awesome. And I'm going to dive into your background and the fact that you're internationally trained and educated, which I think is just so amazing and so fantastic to your overall career and story. But I did want to ask you, why did you choose the laboratory profession? Out of all the professions you could have chosen, I'm sure you had the world at your fingertips.
Oh my goodness. So it's very, I am from Nigeria, like I said. So where I'm from, Stephanie, sometimes your profession is not even chosen by you. Sometimes your profession is chosen by your parents, and you just usually have little or nothing to say about that. But things are starting to change now, but while I was growing up, my parents did the choosing, and I just went ahead with whatever they did. In my case, my dad wanted me to actually study medicine, but I was schooling out of state, so I had limited options. And I was left with the option of either doing nursing, I think, and med lab, and I just went with med lab. And I remember I was supposed to switch majors to medicine after a year or so, but the rest, they say, is history, and I'm here. But so far, I must say, it's been a rewarding experience. So that's actually how I got into the medical lab profession.
That's so interesting. And so so glad you didn't go nursing and you chose the medical laboratory route.
Yes.
And since you've been working in the laboratory science field, what is your favorite area or discipline of the laboratory?
You know, before 2019, if you had asked me this same question, I would just easily answer hematology without even giving it a second thought. But, you know, don't get me wrong, I still very much love that I am part of the team, you know, responsible for the study of, you know, blood cells and blood morphology to decipher blood disorders. But in the last 2 years, I would say blood bank transfusion services. I think the researcher in me is better able to express herself in the blood bank, you know, and the dynamism of, you know, retrospective and prospective serology workup investigation is really intriguing to me. For instance, let's say today you have a patient with a particular, you know, reacting antibody, and on their next visit, they are totally inactive or have something new added to the bunch. So blood bank is exciting, and I love learning as well as teaching it.
I was a blood banker by background also, and I was the kind of person, like, I liked the unpredictability Like you just never
Yes,
know
yes.
what's going to come through the door, especially if you work at like a trauma facility or a
I
facility
know.
that does a lot of, OR procedures and things like that. And so I just like the speed and the unpredictability and, just the
I
hustle
agree.
bustle. It's kind of like an adrenaline rush. It's the
I know,
labs
totally.
ER, I think.
Yes, it is the labs ER. I think you're the second person that I've heard make that comment. It is really the labs ER.
And so, like we mentioned just a little bit ago in the beginning of the podcast episode, you are internationally trained, and I'm sure just experiencing laboratory environments both in the US and in Nigeria, that has shaped your view of the profession, being able to see different challenges that different environments and different countries face. And so, what has been most interesting to you as you've been able to study and work abroad about the different environments that you've worked in?
Thank you for that question. I think my view of the profession actually has remained the same. Medical professionals, we are an essential part of the healthcare theme, right? Medical lab professionals are also part of the bedrock of medicine. That can never be said enough. And there is so much, versatility in each discipline of this profession to meet the, the varying interests of prospective students. But I'd say the challenge remains the same. And even while I was back in Nigeria and here in America, and I'd say it's invisibility. People do not know what we do. A lot of people have no idea whatsoever what we contribute towards patient care. I remember being in a room working, and this other health worker, she comes in and she just casually said, my sister needs a job. Do you guys have an opening? And do you have to have a degree to work here? And this was a health professional. So there are some of the things that you experience, on the job, and then you're like, wow. People really don't know what you do. And you do this every day. You get up every morning and you go to work, and people still don't know what you do. I remember when I graduated, a lot of my friends, who were in the art profession, they knew absolutely nothing about my profession. They just assume we press a bunch of buttons, but that's not the case. There's a lot of analytical thinking that goes with being a medical professional. Every day in your practice, you have to be logical, you have to apply critical thinking, you have to analyze every situation, every patient sample. Sometimes you have to identify, solve. In blood bank, you might have to use like a second, a third, a fourth, sometimes even to the fifth and sixth identifier just to prove a hypothesis. And you do this for every single patient. And other times you have to rule out, maybe rule in, enhance, neutralize to just attain a result. So in this profession, we prove every hypothesis and we rarely leave a situation to chance. And I am still learning. I am still learning. I have learned so much. My background and experience have also helped because even though, let's say, something like an SOP for a particular test, it might differ from, what we do in Nigeria from what is being done here, but the objective actually remains the same. So it's helped me to know more than one way of carrying out a certain procedure. So things like that. So yeah, I'd really say my background and experience have really helped.
Yeah, I think that's pretty universal against all of our laboratory colleagues, right? We feel like people, think about the laboratory as like we're all in one big room, or we're standing in one box, standing together, just waiting on a sample to come down the tube system, or waiting on somebody to drop something off. Or the doctor orders a test and they think, automatically it's going to be done. But there's just so many intricacies that go behind getting the patient that result. And so I think, the times that I've been able to let people in on a little peek at our world, it's always been an extreme eye opener to other people as to what we do. And you also are a research student with an interest in public health. So where do you see that taking you? I also have a master's in public health, and I've found it very beneficial, especially in a pandemic. But where do you see your public health interest taking you?
So I think lab medicine, it will always remain a subject and career that I feel very passionate about. I mean, that is the solid foundation that I had before I even went into research and public health. But yeah, I've now come to learn that research and public health often go hand in hand. So long term, I want to be very involved in health systems and services research, and that's to include transfusion medicine because I always want to be a part of the lab medicine. I'm also interested in, women's health, cancer related research, and as an immunohematologist, I might not even be versed in the design and analysis to embark, on a certain project or a certain question or hypothesis that I might have. But as a public health professional, I could, if I was interested in a research question, say that I noticed that a particular community or population is lacking this or that, or maybe suffering from this or that. Just as a lab scientist, it might be very hard to convince people outside of my immediate circle, but as a public health professional, if I were to carry out some sort of survey or maybe a cohort or a case control study just to ascertain if whatever I'm thinking is really the reason for the outcome, I will, that would go a lot smoother because I've been trained and, I have the resources to help me do that. So long term, I hope to be involved in advocacy, some policy creation and modification, but all of that should stem out from public health and research.
It sounds like a really fascinating career path. Like I said, public health. I didn't start with that as a passion of mine, but as I grew in my, profession and I started to learn more, I started to realize how much laboratory medicine and public health kind of still work hand in hand in terms of like epidemiology, the data analysis, the in community education, public health education, statistics, and all of those things are things that are already innate characteristics of most laboratorians, right? And so it was like a natural progression.
Exactly. So it was very easy for me to delve into public health because, most of the traits that you need to be a good public health professional, you already have as a med lab scientist.
I agree. And so today, I mean, I think that's the perfect segue into what we're going to be talking about today, because today we're going to be discussing tips for our listeners on how to broaden your scope professionally. So if you're listening to this podcast, have you ever felt like, you know what, I got my MLS degree or I got my MLT degree, but I kind of feel like I can do more. Like, what more can I do? I'm kind of feeling, unchallenged on the bench, or I feel like I've hit the ceiling in the organization or the laboratory environment that I'm working in, and I feel like I can do more. And have you ever wondered, about other career pathways that are open to laboratory professionals? Laboratory professionals are sometimes referred to as the behind the scenes heroes. We hear that all the time. It's the theme of almost every lab week. The behind the scenes heroes with the cape and the white lab coat. But today we want to talk about why it's important to focus on raising your visibility and looking at how you can increase your opportunities and do more with the skills and the degree and all of the characteristics that come with being a laboratory professional. In this field, we have to be, but many of us are just so highly versatile, and our skills that we get when we are getting that CLS degree and that
I
MLT
agree.
degree are set a really good foundation for where we can learn other things and other career paths. So I said this was a good segue because I have a interesting question I want to ask you. What are some of the common personality traits or characteristics that you think blessing laboratory professionals possess that would fit well in other careers outside of the laboratory setting?
Stephanie, just like we said earlier on, it was easy for, you to delve into public health because of, the traits that you had as a med lab scientist. And I believe that lab professionals have some sort of compelling drive to understand the way things work. And I think that this curiosity is partly built on the nature of the job that we do. You know, because of these, some of these traits and characteristics come very naturally to us. You know, traits like patience. You know, in the lab, you have to be very patient. Say you're incubating for 5, 10, 15, 30 minutes. That's patience. You have to be patient, you know, to walk through all of that. Empathy. You're not thinking about yourself. You're thinking about the patient who is lying down in the room, who needs this unit, who needs this blood, who needs this culture test results, you know. Attention to detail. You know, we are very careful in the work that we do, so that you don't mislabel, you don't misdiagnose, you don't just make errors like that, because, you know, someone can end up dead. Our ability to multitask. You're not just working on one patient, you have patients walking through the door. It doesn't stop because you're working on one patient. You know, problem-solving skills, because there will always be issues, there will always be problems for us to solve. Physical endurance, I don't think that is being said enough. Sometimes you're on your feet all day, you know, trying to go from A to B, trying to just quench fires and all, like my director would always say. Emotional stability, because you're going to get stressed, you're going to get tired, you're going to get angry sometimes, but we have all of these traits. Team leadership skills, because the supervisor, the manager, they're not there all the time. You know, it's the work that is fashioned into shifts. So everyone gets to be a leader one time. Everyone gets to be a team leader one time. Excellent communication skills. And the interesting thing about it is, as lab professionals, we have excellent communication skills because we speak and listen. So the phone is ringing, you have to listen to what is being said to you. You have to relay these results to the physicians, the nurses, to whoever needs it. So these traits that are possessed by lab professionals fit well with various career pathways outside of the clinical lab setting, which is why I believe that anybody who is a lab professional branching out into any other career, they will do well because we already have these skills traits.
I think that's so powerful. You named some career traits and some characteristics that I didn't even think of that I do possess. I'm sitting here writing them like, I can multitask. I do multitask. But I think, you know, it's one of those things where, and I say this, you know, analogy a lot, you know, have you ever sat in a meeting or a conference where they did the icebreaker? And the icebreaker is say, hey, tell me one interesting thing about yourself. And you sit there and you struggle to think about something. Because really, once we do things daily, it becomes part of, you know, our normal routine. And we no longer see it as anything special or unique.
Exactly.
But if you really think about it, everything you named, I mean, laboratory professionals, my goodness, look at all the skills that we have that can translate.
And these are not all.
Right. They're just a couple.
Yes.
I love when you said the problem solving, because if you are listening and you're that technologist that once an instrument breaks, people come and find you and you can fix it. Or when, you know, there's a piece of IT, you know, a label printer or a computer that's not working correctly, you can fix it. That problem solving can translate into the IT world very easily.
Right. Right.
I love when you said the multitasking, because it's not just that you're working on multiple patients at the same time. You're working on multiple patients, running your QC, answering the phone, you know, answering the tube system, doing, you know, helping plan the
potluck. It never stops.
The critical thinking, you know, laboratory professionals, you often can identify trends and initial diagnoses prior to when the physician gets those results. You know, you're able to see, you know, this patient, you know, sample might have been contaminated, or this could be a contaminated blood culture. You're able to see those things even before the physician does, because you're the one identifying those results. So having those critical thinking skills can translate. And I love when you said the communication, because, you know, interpreting those results and in detailing what those tests are to our to our customers, who are, you know, nurses and clinicians, sometimes patients, but communicating it in a way that they can understand.
Right. You know,
laboratorians, we speak with a lot of acronyms CBC, CMP, all the QMS.
But yeah, when you're talking to someone outside of the lab, you need to remember to say it's complete blood counts. You know, just it's amazing the way we are able to communicate the things that we do on a daily basis to people that know nothing about it.
I completely agree. And so in your opinion, what are some of the other positions that clinical laboratory professionals should consider? I know that you're, diving into the public health arena, but what are some of the other positions that listeners should consider, especially if they feel like I can do more? I feel like I have more bandwidth and more life that I can add to my career.
Well, I don't even think that there are position restraints, which is why we are here today on this show. I think lab professionals can be anything they want to be. And I don't want to limit us to, certain positions, because honestly, it all depends on our interests. Some people are more drawn to, say, the administration, managerial position, while some others are more interested in career paths that are outside the clinical setting. Like, I know of lab professionals that have gone ahead to become IT experts, and like you said, when the printer breaks down, who is that person that we all go to call? Things like that. I know some that have gone ahead to become educators. Some have gone ahead to become biomedical engineers. They worked with these machines for so long and they wanted to be a part of people building those machines. I know one who is in school to become an administrator. And with the traits that we mentioned earlier, I believe that any lab professional will thrive excellently in any career path or position that they decide to embark on, if they are willing, because there are lots of opportunities, requiring different levels of education and training. And as lab professionals, we are at an advantage. We already have levels of education and tons of training under our belt. So whatever our passion may be, we can pursue it because we are lab professionals. That is our edge.
Oh my gosh, that's so great. And you know what? I would say I agree with Blessing. If you're listening to this, figure out what your passion is and go that direction. If you enjoy being the person who trains all of the new team members into the laboratory, maybe your passion might be education. Maybe your passion might be, talent development. And if you can't find a laboratory environment that suits your needs, there's so many, laboratory professionals and colleagues that I've met who have gone into entrepreneurship. They started their own consulting companies. And so there's so many, I agree with you. You shouldn't limit yourself to a position, but rather, build around what your passion is. For you, what have you learned or what do you value most? Or even, maybe what do you feel like you've gained from branching out into research and public health?
It's funny that you ask that because I have learned a lot, especially regarding my ignorance of how the world works in certain aspects. When I was, restricted to the lab as a scientist, I had complete control over the testing or say experiments that I was doing or conducting. For example, let's say that I add a certain solvent. I expect a solute, right? Now, 98% of the time, I would succeed. But in the real world, public health and research does not work exactly like that. Sometimes you start with a solvent and maybe still don't end up with any solute. I don't know if that makes sense. But above all, I would say that I have learned that implementation doesn't always equate to results. So I have gained objectivity, accountability, and stewardship skills. I have become a better student, and I hope an even better med lab professional.
What advice would you have to, a listener who maybe reached out to you and said, okay, I listened to your podcast and I'm thinking about, stepping outside of the box and considering some other opportunities outside of the typical, on the bench setting? What advice would you have for them?
Well, I would say just look within you and be sure that this is what you want. Not that it pays more or looks shiny on a resume or because a friend works there, just for you. Because at the end of the day, you alone can tell how you feel about a certain job, about a certain position, and you don't want to end up frustrated and maybe then out of a job. I'd also say talk to a loved one, talk to a mentor. You know, I spoke to a lot of people when I was back in Nigeria, you know, about the things that I was interested in. And some of my teachers, some of my professors, you know, gave me their own tidbits of advice. Have someone you can confide in, but also that someone who isn't exactly biased. Does that make sense? You know, if you don't have access to that, then talk to a professional, if you may. Talk about why you feel so strongly about it. You might be more or less convinced when you say these words out loud. You know, above all, do your research. Always, always, never assume. Ask questions. I'm going to reiterate on that. Ask lots of questions, especially as to the career that you want to move into, the job description, the expectations. You know, if you have led a very sedentary lifestyle and you want to switch that up, sometimes it might not go well. So ask questions so you're not surprised at what you find. And if you are religious, pray about it. I mean, and if you feel you need to go and be and do more, I will say go for it. Totally go for it.
And what if they respond and say, okay, but, you know, I'm afraid. I'm nervous. This is a big change. I don't know about this. I'm nervous.
Yeah, I'm going to tell them I was once in the exact spot where you're standing right now. You know, I was so afraid because I had a sense of comfort in my space. You see, I moved countries. I moved temperatures. I moved everything. I didn't want to rock my boat. But at the same time, you know, my eyes would light up every time I read a journal about a new study result, an intervention being studied, breakthroughs in science and medicine, you know. But my problem was deep down, I had a lot of concerns, just like you're saying now. But mostly, I had a lot of doubt. I had to learn to doubt my doubts, you know, believing that where there is a will, there will surely be a way. And I'm going to tell them I am still on the way to where I want to be, but I am so far away from where I started. And I'm glad that I took that first step. So I say, step out of that box. It is not late, and you will never know if you don't try.
I love that. That's a hashtag, doubt your doubts. Blessing has started a laboratory movement. Doubt your doubts.
Oh, no.
Oh my gosh, that's wonderful. I love that. Doubt your doubts. Believe in yourself. And yeah. You know, if you are religious, pray about it. If not, meditate, think, do your pros and cons list, or do whatever you do to make a sound decision in your life. So for you, Blessing, in hindsight, and I'm sure you've done this before, hindsight is, you know, better than 2020 sight sometimes. But when you look back over your journey, do you ever say, I wish I would have known X, Y, and Z? Like, what career advice would you give to Blessing 10 years ago?
I would say, Blessing, ask questions. Ask questions about every endeavor. Even when you're afraid, it would save you some time. It might even save you a lot of money. I remember going into things that I hadn't asked enough questions, and I became frustrated halfway into them. You know, I didn't ask enough questions. I didn't know what was the intricacies of, you know, what I was embarking into. So I'd say, Blessing, always ask questions. It would save you.
Yeah, I had one guest say that. Another one really resonated with me was that be brave, you know, because when I look back over my career, I had a couple of opportunities to be a traveling technologist. And I was always just too afraid to, you know, travel different places and go into laboratories that I maybe weren't familiar with, and you know, different cities and states that I wasn't familiar with, and not have loved ones close. But now I do look back on that and say, you know, what if I had done that? Surely my journey and my career might have been very different. Although I'm excited and glad and proud of where I am today, you just never want to have that level of like, what if, you know.
Yeah. I have, and now that you mentioned travel tech, I have a friend who just, you know, I think 6 months ago, she just started delving into, you know, being a travel tech, and she is having the time of her life. You know, aside the fact that it pays more, she is learning so much about so many things. You know, in a short period of time, you get to learn about a lab. In 1 week, you just absorb all of that and then you move on to something different. And then she told me that she's taking all of these experiences and all of this knowledge that she's getting, and she's putting it when she moves to another state, when she goes to another hospital, when she goes to another facility, and it's really helping her career. So yeah.
Oh, well, great. I'm happy for her that she's having the time of her life. Exciting. So as we wrap up this conversation, I love to ask our guests, what advice would you leave to our listeners in their professional lives? So I'm sure you maybe have a mentor, or you have some resources, maybe an app that you use, or some books that you've read, or a podcast that you listen to, that has helped you along the way. And so what advice would you leave our listeners with that could help them also?
I'd say just never stop learning new things, you know, especially at work, even in the career that you're in right now, you know, as a med tech, as a lab scientist, never stop learning about the work that you do. You know, if you're curious about a work-related event, try and learn more about it. You know, go for conferences, you know, go for meetings and all of that. Information is always key. You might not even need to branch out of your current profession, and you might come up or stumble upon something in that profession that you didn't even know existed just because you attended a conference. So I'd say network. Try to have a positive mindset because your mind sometimes is the only obstacle that you need to overcome. Believe in yourself, just like Stephanie said, believe in yourself, be brave. You know, you have made it this far, so celebrate your wins. Seek out a mentor, a senior colleague. What I did was I reached out to some people who were doing the same things that I enjoy doing, you know. The people that were already where I want to be, the people that were succeeding in that career path. Reach out to them, you know, have the zeal, be honest, be open, and you will find someone who is willing to take you under their wings. And listen to Elaborate. They have gems in here. So I always learn something on every episode. So I would say those are kind of the things that I do. I take out time to listen to my mentors, take out time to listen to senior colleagues that I admire, people that I see that are doing good, doing, you know, great in their career path. I listen to them. They will tell you the things that they have done. They will guide you so you don't make the mistakes that they did. So those are some of the things that have really helped me. So that's what I have to say.
Thank you. Well, you admire us and we admire you, Blessing. You know, you've sound like you've got just such a wonderful future in front of you, and you've had such a gifted past in your career. And this has just been a really enlightening, positive, and inspiring talk. So thank you for being a guest on the show today.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me. The honor is mine. Trust me. I mean, I know that I've told you, Stephanie, I admire you so much. So much. So please, you are the one that I admire. So thank you for having me. It is an honor, an absolute honor to be here and to have this talk with you. Thank you.
I am positive that after listening to this episode, so many people are going to want to reach out to you and talk to you either about your research you have going on, or you know, how your track in public health, or just you know, working internationally. And so tell the listeners how you can be reached outside of this podcast.
So I'd say LinkedIn, my LinkedIn profile is the fastest way to reach me. I mean, that's the one that I have the tip of my fingertips. You know, you can just type my name, Blessing Ogwumba. That's going to be UGWUMBA. So Blessing Ogwumba. And you would see me and be able to reach me. My email address is ogwumbab@gmail.com. That's going to be UGWUMBAB@gmail.com.
Well, thank you so much, Blessing, and thank you to all our listeners for listening to another episode of the Elaborate Topics podcast. If you like what you heard today and you want to talk more to Blessing, you know, be sure to reach out to her in LinkedIn or using the Gmail. I'll put that in the show notes as well. So you'll have an easy link to reach out to her. If you want to reach out to me or any of my co-hosts, be sure to find us on the Elaborate Topics LinkedIn group. Join our group and get daily inspirational posts from Tawana, or be a guest on the show, or just learn more about what we're doing and some of the topics we're talking about. And we want to hear from you guys. What topics do you want us to cover? What guests do you want us to have on the show? We want to hear from you guys so we can continue to give you content that is helping you excel inside and outside of the laboratory. Until next week, thank you for listening. Be sure to follow me on all my social medias at Stephanie Y. Whitehead on my Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. I'm an ASCP and ASCLS mentor, and enjoy your day. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.